You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, May 20th. Nice to be back after a nice stretch off for a little European vacation that we'll continue talking about throughout the course of the morning. Greg Bach joins us from Radio Park. Dan Hagen from WJFW Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander is with us, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot as well. Brittany, what's the old adage? Red sky at morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. Yep. I had to go out and take a picture this morning of a sunrise that was probably as red as it gets. Ooh. Which I take to affirm the forecast that it's not going to be the world's most pleasant day out across Wisconsin today.
No, it's definitely not. It's going to be dark, damp, dreary, windy, wet, soaking wet in some places, in fact. Temperatures right now are still crisp and cool. Lake Superior, if you're up there, 39 degrees, and then it's about 48 degrees by the shores of Lake Michigan. Winds are already cranking out of the east at about 20 to 30 mile per hour gusts. We're going to see them frequently hitting about 40 miles per hour as we go through this afternoon. And we've got this big low pressure system that is sliding down to the south. It's just scraping southern parts of the state, but it's big enough to really bring in those strong winds. We are looking at cloudy skies, heavy rainfall moving in. Right now, it's already into our western areas, starting to move throughout the rest of the state throughout the day. It's going to lift north. We are going to see that far up north. I know we're seeing some sunshine into northeastern parts right now, but we are going to cloud up and we're all going to see that rainfall. In fact, some storms are expected down far south later on this afternoon. And in total rainfall just today, we could see a good 1 to 2 inches. From pretty much a line across to Sheboygan and south. So some flooding potential there as those rivers start to rise, but that area does need the rain. The drought, about 5% of the state is in a drought, and it's right along that state line. So this is hitting the right spot at the right time. Otherwise, today, you're going to probably need a sweatshirt or something like a jacket, because with those winds, highs are only going to reach the mid-40s down south to the mid-50s far north.
It's a big system. I mean, it stretches from like Atlanta to Saskatchewan when I first called up the radar this morning. This is not one of those things, oh, poor us, little black rain cloud. Like, nope, everybody's getting a little something today.
Yeah, we are.
And that east wind, I was telling Greg an hour ago, you know, we've got one of these places with, you know, the oversized American flag. And to see a flag that large, you know, just stiff in the wind from out of the east is pretty rare.
Yes, yes, it is. It absolutely is. And that's pretty cool to see. Oh, get a video of that for me, please.
Okay. Well, I'd have to want to venture out in this. You'll notice I'm in a short sleeve shirt. You know, there's that saying about, you know, dress for the job you want, not the job you've got. And what you shouldn't do, you should not apply it to dress for the weather you want, not the weather you've got. Because I just got done with 10 days in Europe that was like, it was picture postcard weather. Every day was in the upper 70s and sunny. It looked like, you know, one of those under the Tuscan sun things that you'd see in Italy or southern Portugal or Spain. And I'm not dressed for this. You were actually my
Welcome
first.
Back.
You were my first tip off, first email that I saw, you know, with the forecast for this morning. Because I did not look at the headlines or the forecast or anything. I just landed and like, oh, it looks kind of icky out here. I hope it's just passing through. It's not just passing through.
No. Then we were thinking about you coming back today and we're like, well, we'll see if he makes it, depending on all those crazy winds that are coming with the system. But I'm glad you're back and I'm sorry that the weather is a little bit crummy, but it'll get better for this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Woo! That's
just it. We've got a holiday weekend coming up. Other folks will be traveling. And look, if you're on a regular, like a 747 or, you know, one of the DC planes or whatever, we've all hit turbulence from time to time while flying.
Yeah.
When you're in one of those big old 787s going across the ocean and you hit something, and you know from the little map, you're somewhere over the ocean, like off the tip of Greenland or something. And you hit you hit turbulence on something that size. I mean, I know planes go through this every single day. It gets your attention. Where you're going, okay, everybody went righty-tighty, right, on all the bolts and everything that's in here? This is all nice and sturdy, right? And it was.
So seatbelts on, click.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, without a doubt there. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in the next hour as well.
Sounds good.
Dan, you were mentioning as well to, as we were getting set to talk to Brittany a bit about severe weather, and there's fundraisers going on, because we did have quite a spate of bad weather right before I left as well. And I know that that's just part of life in Wisconsin, but it's always sad to see.
Yeah, that's right. Was it last Wednesday night or Thursday that a tornado went through Rib Falls, Wisconsin? Rib Falls is north of Marathon City. If you don't know where that is, that's okay. It's in Marathon County. And it really didn't touch down for long, but it just destroyed this couple's farm and house. So they're trying to do a GoFundMe and just raise enough money to buy a trailer home so they can live on their land while kind of insurance takes care of the process, which is a long and arduous process.
Yeah, it is. More so than it should be in Europe, but I'm going to get on that rant again a little bit later. Okay. First, I wanted to share from Rob in Tigerton. Welcome back, Pat. Hope you had an excellent time. In Tigerton, it's cloudy and 45. With those easterly winds, it's chilly, and wearing a jacket mowing lawns after a week of getting a suntan 1 week ago. He said, I did my Wittenberg mowing jobs yesterday to beat the rain today. We're going to be talking to Chad Holmes in a bit about, in our next hour, about colonoscopies. And Rob says on his that he had right before my break, they found a few polyps, but not cancerous. And so I'm very glad that I got this done. He says, I love the Go-Go's from 1980s. We talked about Jane Whelan's birthday. My favorite song is Vacation. Greg, if I was closer to you, I would mow your lawn with my John Deere.
I bet you it would take you 4 minutes.
And Rob finishes his comments on YouTube by saying, I have to ask Dan if they did the story of a car hitting a moose along Highway 45 near Land O'Lakes. Well, let me tell you something. I wanted to know what Dan had been working on, so I pulled up the WJFW Newswatch 12 site. And, of course, the first headline that grabbed my eye, driver hits moose early Monday on Highway 45 near Land O'Lakes. Moose had to be euthanized from injuries. Not what you typically expect.
No, definitely a vibe killer. The car hit like the back legs of the moose, unfortunately. So the DNR and the Vilas County Sheriff's Office arrived there, and they just had to euthanize it, which is pretty sad. We only see, you know, a couple moose every year in our area.
Yeah, I mean, look, I recall when they reintroduced elk in the Clam Lake area, and what a big deal that was. And one of the things when you've got an 8-hour flight, like I did yesterday, you're looking at the movies and the shows and everything. And I picked up on this documentary about a grizzly bear tracking through the U.S. and Canada from Yellowstone all the way up to Alaska. And you learn in all of these areas, whether you're talking bears, moose, elk, whatever, it's not that, look, we're not saying, oh, you know, man should not be settling in any of these places, but it's a matter of trying to have some kind of a coexistence. And that includes being careful on the roads, because, you know, it's not just bad for the above mentioned moose, but bad for you as well. There are people that, you know, there are traffic fatalities and injuries, not to mention the body shops. I mean, I've hit two or three deer over the years, Dan. I don't know if you've ever struck one or not.
Yeah, I've hit probably four or five. I spent a summer in Montana, and that did it for me. But yeah, a lot of bald eagles are hit. You know, they're eating carcasses on the side of the road that probably were hit by cars, and then people just zoom right past these eagles, and they get erratic, and yeah, not good.
No, I forgot all about that. The bald eagles eating the roadkill and things like that, where, again, we're just looking for a little coexistence, a little bit more care. Before I leave a previous subject, Alicia chimes in on YouTube. Crossing the Atlantic in an aircraft carrier makes you notice the waves as well. Yeah, no thanks, Alicia. There's just no, I mean, I love going on cruise ships. They go from one tranquil Caribbean island to another tranquil, across mostly tranquil seas, but taking a boat across the North Atlantic. Greg, that's a Titanic kind of mission that I would not sign up for. Maybe you are braver than me.
I wouldn't even do cruises. Those things are horrifying. They're not, those are horrifying vessels in the middle, in the middle of an unforgiving and vengeful ocean. Okay. No, thank you. Hard pass.
All right.
I would do a Viking river cruise where I could see both sides of the coast or both sides of the land. I mean, like, oh, the boat's going down. I will simply swim a quarter of a mile to shore. Yay.
Dan, cruises?
I have never been on a cruise. I don't care to go on a cruise. And Greg and I, we're actually doing a Viking River cruise next week.
We are,
so
yeah.
Looking
yep.
forward to that. Yeah.
Oh, see, now I knew I'd missed out the arrangements on something there. Well, hey, you know, by all means, enjoy. So, Dan, we've covered the Moose. We've covered the Hodag Dome is reinflated. And what other stories have you been following up there for Newswatch 12?
Well, over the weekend, some Rhinelander paper mill workers noticed a goose was trapped in some lures, and actually a lure and some fishing line. So they were able to capture the goose and drive it to Wild Instincts, a local animal rehabilitator. And they were able to remove the lure, which was in its bill and its foot, and then take out some fishing line, give it some antibiotics, give it some painkillers, and eventually release it back. So a lot of animal rehab going on for that's been successful.
No, that's great. Tony on YouTube, did the goose lay the golden egg? No, Tony, it doesn't work that way. It had to pay the medical bills.
No, that's, it's funny. That's the problem. I was spending some time with a friend of mine, and there was a goose, a mother goose, just probably 8 feet away, like the whole time. I don't know if I should have been that close, but it just stayed right on its eggs. Didn't make a sound.
Oh, that's okay. You don't. I was going to make some joke about being goosed. No, I'm just going to move right on from there. Memorial Day weekend coming up. Do you have plans for the long weekend?
Yes, I'll be spending some time with my family up in Arborvitae, Wisconsin, which is near Minocqua. And, you know, I'll be thinking of, it kind of makes me emotional Memorial Day because, you know, I have some family members, my grandma's brother, who, you know, went to war, never came back, never was able to have a family. So be thinking of him and swapping stories.
That is the most appropriate thing to do and to say and to be thinking about during that time. So, no, it's absolutely not at all lost, should not be lost on any of us, the actual meaning of the weekend and the importance of it. And then having said that, once we have, you know, paid that appropriate level of honor to be able to enjoy a long weekend like that, that was made, again, it was provided by the sacrifice of others who came before us. So when you do that, or when you take that long weekend with family, is it recreational or is it more relaxing?
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, depending on which of my siblings are there, you know, it could be either, no, I'm kidding. No, life is good. We get outside, we're not a motorboat family, so we get on canoes and kayaks, maybe go fishing, maybe go biking. Yeah, and just while it's on my mind, Gerhard Steinbach was the brother of my grandmother. He served in World War II. He died on the Bataan Death March.
Oh.
Always thinking of him once a year, at least.
Absolutely. Attention must be paid, and I'm glad that you've brought it up. Dan, you can catch him over at WJFW TV Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander and also here on Tuesday mornings. We always appreciate it. Thanks for sticking around, help us in getting back into the swing of things after a little bit of time off.
Welcome back. I don't see much color on you, Pat. You know, did you use too much sunscreen?
I was in a lot of tour buses and sitting in those cafes.
You just covered in a blanket the entire time.
Something like that. All right, Dan, we'll see you next week. Have a great holiday weekend. All right. Sounds good. Still ahead on the show this morning, Dan Schaefer, as well as Chad Holmes from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We've got some Brewers baseball tonight across the Civic Media Radio Network. Brewers will be playing the Baltimore Orioles after beating them last night. Coverage starts at 6:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and the newest affiliate, WBZH, up in Hayward. And then there is a matinee game tomorrow, and that is an, geez, I just said it. Did I say 11:05 or 11:35 for the start time on there? I will get that in my notes, Greg.
It's 12:10. It's a 12:10.
So 11:35 would be the pregame. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about that okay. time. Yep.
Thank you. I was looking at a different screen because this is normally where I turn to one Greg Bach and say, hey, what's coming up later on Matt and Air on Air? And then I'm always surprised when I see my name listed on there.
So, oh, yeah, buddy. You're going to be on Matt and Air on Air. That was a weird surfer Canadian thing I voiced. I'm never going to do that again. We have you today at 9:30, and then at 10 o'clock, we're going to have Missy Hughes. She is the executive director of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. She'll be on talking about tariffs and what Wisconsin's doing. And then we're going to have Beth Heindorn from the Racine Zoo. So it's a very, very packed show today.
And, of course, concluding with...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing, where we take a look at funny, weird, and sometimes... stressful news. No, it's we just take a look at a story that's circling the world and kind of like, should this be a thing? Should the people be doing these things? It's weird. But yeah, it's all part of our last half hour we call Audio Sorbet, where we sort of cleanse the palate, bring in some fun, and let the beautiful, relaxing harps just do their thing.
I was going to say, yes, the harps are cleansing in and of themselves. There they are now. Then following that fine program. Followed by, I got to pick one or the other, Todd Alba's show. We're at 2:30 today. Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin will be on as part of their Mental Health Awareness Month series. Maggie Dawn has former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel coming up this afternoon. And Dan Schaefer will have his weekly appearance with Maggie Dawn, as he will with us, coming up at 8:30 this morning. The Milwaukee Brewers were winners, I mentioned, against Baltimore. It was a four-hit game for William Contreras, including breaking a tie in the eighth inning with a two-out single. 5-4 was the final score, and for the Brewers, or for the Orioles, rather, it was their seventh consecutive loss. And again, the two teams will play again later today and then tomorrow midday before they take off for a little matinee game coming up, or I'm sorry, taking off for a trip to Pittsburgh. Greg, on This Shouldn't Be a Thing, working the day after your vacation, yay or nay?
Nay, no. Absolutely not. In fact, I was surprised when you texted me last night, you said, we're home. I'm like, weren't you home already? Like, every January, Bridget and I take a trip somewhere warmish, warm-esque, mm-hmm. warmer than Wisconsin.
Yes.
And we always come back like either Sunday night or early Monday morning. So we have a full day of just getting back to the swing of things. The fact that you went to a different time zone in a different continent and you came back last night, like, all right, here we go. I'm like, wow.
Here's the math mistake that I made in doing that. Again, because of that whole thing of the Earth being round and these time zones.
Okay, Pat.
Watch as I explain the curvature of the Earth now. Anyway, in Europe right now, it's the noon hour. And I would be all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So thinking, okay, we're getting back later in the evening. But in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning when I get up, my body will think it's noon.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's that whole flying for like 22 hours, getting through the airport in Lisbon, which that's a story I could take some time to tell. But nobody at the Lisbon airport is listening right now. So I'll save that for a sternly worded letter at some point. And then, transferring in Paris and then the flight and everything else that comes over kind of takes a little bit of the wind out of your sails, if I may be so bold as to say.
I need to look at a map of Europe because something's not computing. And this is just might be, okay, so you had to fly from Portugal to Paris.
From Lisbon to Paris because it was a direct flight from Paris to the Twin Cities. Now, other people who were going to this wedding flew Chicago to Toronto, Toronto to Dublin, Dublin to Lisbon.
Wow.
And I just was, you know, I thought if we can get this, if I can name that tune in two flights, I'm going to do that instead. Yeah. And here's the thing. We did complicating things further was we made two different travel arrangements because we realized we had enough credit card points on one of the cards to qualify for a free ticket. So one of our flights was actually free. But to use the American Express points, it was an offer through Virgin Atlantic.
Yeah.
So Virgin Atlantic has a partnership with Air France. And the flight was by Air France. But in the U.S., the flight was managed by Delta.
Trying
to get checked in for these flights both ways, where you're going to Air France and like, oh no, I know it's our flight, but Delta manager, you know, you got the points through Virgin Atlantic, and they're like, oh no, and Delta was like, well, you didn't book it directly from us, so we can't help you on that. So for all the wonderful things that I've said for the first half of the show about travel to Europe, and again, we are as big a travel fans as ever before. But sometimes it's the travel lean that is the thing. And that would include the guy sitting just across the aisle from us, who on the entire 8-hour flight from Paris to the Twin Cities had this wet, persistent cough the entire flight. The fact that I am doing this show and not in some kind of a coma right now is a miracle.
And that's been another episode of Pat Talks to the Manager.
Why we talk, this is why Pat advocates travel, but there's some issues.
Yeah.
Coming up later, Chad Holmes, Dan Schaefer, another check-in with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. First, we're going to have Hans Brighton Moser. Remember, sign up for those newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome back. It is 7:35. I'm Pat Kreitlow here on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Lake Wissota on this Tuesday morning, May 20th. Nice to be back. It was a wonderful vacation, 10 days away in Portugal for a friend's wedding and some sightseeing. And we have talked about it at length, which is Pat's way of saying, I didn't look at the news very much, and the stuff I looked at, I didn't really want to dwell on today. We'll have plenty of time for that. In fact, Dan Schaefer is here 1 hour from right now, and then we'll really get back into the spirit of political headlines, Wisconsin, nationally, and frankly, internationally, because of some of the election results that happened while I was in Europe over the past couple of days. So we'll talk to Dan Schaefer about that. About the flight, though, on Facebook, Ardith writes, Pat, I hope you wore a mask on that flight. What's wrong with some people? And I was talking about somebody earlier who had a persistent wet cough for the entire 8-hour flight. And I kept shooting nasty looks over there because no mask and was just coughing into his hand the whole time. And I thought, how many surfaces is this guy touching? But of course, telling my mom about it, the first thing I get back from her is, well, did you wear a mask? I'm like, no, I didn't. So lesson learned for that next very long flight here. But I appreciate the concern. Again, nice to be back. Good to be catching up with folks like Greg Bach in Radio Park and Hans Breitenmoser, who joins us from up in Lincoln County. One very busy farmer this time of year. How is Hans doing today?
Good morning. I'm fine. I just refilled the corn planter again, so the guy that plants my corn can try and get a few more acres pounded in before it starts raining.
The corn planter man, as you described him earlier.
The corn planter man.
To which, by the way, if anybody's like looking askance, like, well, wait a minute, he's the farmer. It's a different world out there, folks. And, you know, thanks to the cost of the equipment and the scale at which you can get some of this work done, whether it's the planting or the combining or anything else along the way, there's a lot more of this where the work is divided among many farms that way. And when it's you better be ready when it's your turn.
Right. So we hire a guy from Marathon City who plants our corn. He has a 12-row John Deere planter, and he's all set up to plant corn. And so we just contract that out to him. But my job is then to make sure that my guys get tillage done in advance of the corn planter, and also keep tendering him seed and fertilizer and you know, making sure that he knows where to go and that he's got all the things he needs to keep him going and keep things moving in the shop. So every time somebody rolls up with a busted piece of equipment, I can cobble it together as I do and get it going again.
That's because ultimately it is all up to you. I mean, everybody else is just a part of it, but you know, it's your name on the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm the one that's paying the bills and so I tend to be the ringleader this time of the year and don't actually do a lot of tractor driving myself because I spend most of my time keeping all the other equipment moving, which is fine. I enjoy it very much, but yeah, it's super busy. The month of May is not long enough to get everything done that we try to get done. This time of the year, we put cattle out to pastures, which means there's fences to be repaired and animals to move around. You know, every time I look at a hay field, it's gotten a little bit taller. So we need to be thinking about making hay in a couple weeks as well. So very busy.
We were before my break 2 weeks ago talking about getting all the tillage done, and the new stats are in right now from the USDA on Wisconsin progress, and spring tillage is 86% complete. But it's funny that you mentioned the first cutting of alfalfa hay. That's already at 5% complete.
Is that right? Oh yeah. Man, I'm behind again.
I know, 5% done. Let's see, on the corn planting, it is 73% complete, 5 days ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn emergence was 23% complete. And by the way, part of the reason for all of this is, you know, the weather. Again, when I left, it was get the field work done. It's the weather's gorgeous, but sure. You know, farmers had just over 5 days of suitable field work. And now, of course, you've got all this rain that's moving through the area. So, I mean, you're always at the tender mercies of Mother Nature on these things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's really just a matter of kind of budgeting our time and keeping an eye on that forecast and trying to figure out what things can be put off for the rain days and how many acres we can get done prior to the rain. And that's basically what our lives have been here so far for the month of May. We did get a lot of work done last week with the dry conditions. So we're at about 60% corn planted. I'd have all my beans planted except for we did a little miscalculation and ran out of seeds. So I gotta pound a couple more acres of beans in, and our new seedings are pretty much in. So
okay. Yep. Soybeans are 66% planted, 5 days ahead of last year's average. And let's see, the oat planting is 82% complete. The topsoil moisture thing is interesting. You've got 4% that are at very short and 17% short. And yet you also have 70% adequate and nearly 10% surplus. So you definitely have a range here depending on where the rain has fallen. There were drought concerns, and now lately there's a little bit of surplus concern depending on who's getting the heavier rain.
Yeah, well, and I feel like it's such a moving target because, you know, as I said earlier, my corn planter, man, is only like 25 miles away from me. And they got rain when we didn't. We got way more rain than they did the last time. And on Friday night when it stormed here, I don't know how many inches of rain we got, but it rained really hard for a very short period of time, which did create a bunch of washouts and so forth. So that's the thing that I think we're dealing with more than we used to. I know we're dealing with more than we used to, and we will deal more with in the future, which is heavy, heavy, super, you know, strong storms and big, big rains that really wash things out. And it makes our jobs a little more difficult because we have to be selective about how we do tillage, when we do tillage, and trying to figure out how we can incorporate cover crops and no-till to the best of our abilities. So that we don't get these washouts, because man, I was looking at some fields yesterday that had just been planted, and boy, they got tore up pretty bad by the strong rains that we got Friday night. So that's a real challenge.
Yeah. And all that work is keeping folks from maybe paying attention to other things like politics, you know, tuning things out where applicable. But that would then mean missing out on some of the action, like, for example, the House Agriculture Committee on Wednesday night last week moved out a piece of its budget package on a party line vote. And so, again, you had people like Congressman Derek Van Orden, who are on the House Agriculture Committee, saying, well, I'm going to fight against these things like big cuts to SNAP or Medicaid or the VA. And in the case of the agricultural provisions, you had Derek Van Orden voting right along with all the other Republicans. Now, for the farmers, And this is from a story at aginfo.net. It says, farmers would see better reference prices, a broader band of protection levels under commodity and insurance programs, and see the payment limit for farm programs increased. However, the bill would also shift food assistance spending to the states to make up for coming federal cuts to those programs like SNAP and others. And so, Hans, I look at that and my first thought is that some folks in the farm community are going to say, well, I guess as long as my payments or my prices are okay, they're going to do what they're going to do. But, you know, big cuts in SNAP, that's not going to be good for farmers, not to mention all the families that rely upon it.
Yeah, well, and you got to remember that it, you know, as more and more poor public policy comes out of Washington, you're going to have more rural areas struggling. And some of the people who are the beneficiaries of SNAP and so forth do live in rural areas. So this affects our friends and neighbors. And, you know, historically, the Farm Bill was this marriage between urban and rural, you know, consumer and producer. And that's how the legislation got done. And you know, I'm not suggesting that it wasn't cumbersome and tedious and messy sometimes, but it got done. And now we've got politicians that can't manage to even, you know, produce anything for a couple of years past time when it's supposed to be produced. So again, I just keep coming back to, you know, that Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it. And again, far from a done deal, because you had in the House version, you're looking at some $290 billion in SNAP cuts. But over on the Senate side, Republicans there, their initial plan cuts only $1 billion from the SNAP program. Now, again, a billion is still, you know, a big number, but a billion in cuts versus $290 billion in cuts, there's still a lot of room there for disagreement. So all of this is far from a done deal. But I bring it up, people say, well, then why are we talking about this? The notion that we have people in Congress right now that think that we're not going to notice cutting $290 billion from food assistance, and that's not money going into any American's pocket unless you're a billionaire. This isn't like some kind of savings. This is all to pay for tax cuts for the very rich, unless, Hans, and we've seen this before, if you can give just enough of a temporary tax cut to farmers and others in the middle class to make them feel like, oh, I guess I'm a winner out of this, when it's not. It's all about paying for tax cuts for billionaires.
Exactly. And that's the problem. And, you know, we've had this conversation before. I think a lot of farmers and small business owners sort of put themselves in the same bucket as the billionaires that are getting these tax cuts and so forth. And we're just not. I mean, we're just not. We have way more in common with the people who we employ and our neighbors in our own community than we do with the billionaires who are actually benefiting from this. And, you know, you talk about $290 billion. I mean, some of these numbers are so far beyond a normal person's ability to comprehend. But isn't it interesting that that number is, you know, in the same neighborhood as the net worth of the richest man in the world, who also has influence on our politics these days? I mean, if that doesn't scream this system is broken and needs to have some change and have different people in these offices to call this BS out, then I don't know what does.
Here's the thing. The ranking member on the committee is Angie Craig from Minnesota. And she notes that, set aside the $290 billion and everything about, oh, we've got to make all these cuts because people are milking the system. The average SNAP benefit is $6 a day. Mm-hmm. And for $6 a day, you're talking about rolling back the largest anti-hunger program in national history, something that has worked. But to, again, say, well, some people are cheating on it. Again, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater to say that a few people that are cheating on the program means you throw out this thing that has done more to alleviate hunger in this country while also helping the producers of food, the farmers, than anything else out there. Angie Craig said, you don't build a life on SNAP. You build a bridge to the next paycheck, the next opportunity, the next moment of stability. That's what this is supposed to be about. And that spirit of that has completely been lost in Washington these days, Hans.
Absolutely. And what's troubling to me is that, you know, when the right comes out with this nonsense about all this waste and fraud, then the mainstream media picks up on it and everybody picks up on it as if it's the truth. And so and it's once again, it's the big lie. Let's create a problem that doesn't exist and then go after and attack it. And it's just nonsense when all it comes down to is providing another tax break to people who just don't need them. And it's going to have an impact on rural economies. When you change programs like that, it is going to have an impact, especially in light of the fact that some of the people who are, you know, losing their jobs over with these USDA cuts and so forth, they're going to be the newly poor that are going to be relying on some of these benefits. So I just don't understand what problem are we trying to solve here? Because waste and fraud, while there might be some, it's very, very small compared to what they're saying.
It's a great mystery. Coming up at 8 o'clock hour, Chad Holmes and Dan Schaefer here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
In the Up North News Daily newsletter today from Christina Lorre, why the Trump administration wants to cut Big Bird or everybody else that used to be on PBS and public radio, and what does it really get us to make these kinds of cuts? It's somewhat related to the discussion we're having right now here with Hans Breitenmoser about cuts to nutrition assistance programs, or even Hans to the VA. And one of the stories I came back to was noting that, again, talking about Western Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden, again, asked at a U.S. House committee hearing last Thursday, so when are we going to cut the VA? And again, this is a former Navy SEAL, and he is trying to make the case that the VA has become top-heavy with bureaucrats outnumbering doctors. And he also blamed the PACT Act, which is something that Senator Tammy Baldwin championed, for veterans who were exposed to toxic substances during the course of their service. And so Van Orden says, so when are we going to cut the VA? And I hope you do, sir. Because again, it's this whole notion of whether it's SNAP or the VA or anything else. They like to claim they're targeting all this waste, fraud, and abuse when we know better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the VA, and obviously I'm not a veteran, so I should probably just stay in my wheelhouse. But it's all that same rhetoric. We're going to find waste, and we're going to, you know, get rid of it. Or more, close to the point, what they're saying is there's all this waste, and we need to get rid of it. I think. Any organization who isn't introspective and tries to figure out how they could be more efficient and so forth, these are government agencies. They deserve scrutiny, absolutely. But we've been sold the bill of goods. We've been sold that these things are only wasteful, always wasteful, and it's the same, you know, stereotype of bureaucrats who don't do anything and so forth that we've been hearing from the right for years and years and years without any actual, you know, basis in fact. You're always going to find anecdotal evidence of anything that you look for. But again, all of this comes down to trying to come up with tax breaks for uber wealthy folks. And all of it is just an absolute disregard for how the economy actually works, which is to say, when you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground, that those dollars grow exponentially. That's what makes rural economies work, and urban economies are very similar in that regard.
All right, let's turn away from the politics here. Let me turn to more of your own personal family history in agriculture here. Having just returned from Portugal and seeing these, a lot of them are vineyards, but other farms as well that have been in families for generations, or if they have passed on to others as well, and the European roots of American agriculture, which is very real in your family. Yep. And I'm really getting to the importance of agriculture, the importance of immigration. We've talked about it from the standpoint of modern day migrant labor, but the whole notion that of this country is this premise that you can come from anywhere and you can succeed. And it isn't just, you know, starting as a, you know, a farmhand or something. You can tell us all about how the immigration story is real and successful from a farming standpoint overall. It's truly the story of American success.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the story of my life. My parents moved here in 1968 from Switzerland. And the reason why they moved here is because they, well, the practical reason why they moved here is because they were unable to afford land in Switzerland. Even back in those days, they were selling land by the square meter because it's a small country and land was too high priced and they'd never be able to own it. And the other thing over there was that because my dad didn't have the education that the banks wanted him to have, they wouldn't loan him any money. So it was just a little tough, you know, road a hoe there. But my dad was also the very stereotypical immigrant in terms of he really understood that America is an idea and this was a place where he was going to have a chance to do something. So they came over here. They were able to buy a farm in short order. They were able to, you know, borrow money, got credit because they paid their bills. He immediately got a job at a local feed mill alongside the farming as well. And so he learned English at the local feed mill and at the local tavern adjacent to the local feed mill. And my mom learned English watching Sesame Street with my sister and myself. And that's many, many years ago. You know, the rest is history, I guess.
No, it is. But again, the conditions were still such that we were much more welcoming toward, yes, you know, migrants who wanted to come here and build something, you know, in rural America.
Right. And understood. I think that at a cultural level and at the federal government level, there was an understanding that immigrants bring something to the party, because they do. I mean, it's fact, right? And so my parents felt very welcomed here. And public policy understood that these are people who are coming here because they understand that they have something to contribute and can do well for themselves and so forth. And in doing so, lift a lot of other people up. They will be assets to the team. Everybody, public policy at that point understood that and said, by all means, you know, we're flattered that you want to come here. Come on in and let's go to work. And when I think about the economic impact that my parents had and that I've had since them, you know, because they moved here and so many other immigrants, it's staggering. And why we're so anti that now just is puzzling to me.
It is and remains so because we so need immigration reform more than ever. And we need to reinvigorate the story more than ever. Hans Breitenmoser, thanks for helping me get caught up after vacation. Always good to chat with you. Have a good week. Good luck out there in the fields.
Pleasure, all right. Man. Thanks, Pat.
You bet. Tomorrow on the program, Christian Phelps, state representative from Eau Claire, will be here. Devin Remicker, candidate for state Democratic Party chair, will join us, along with Melissa Baldoff, James Kelly, Melissa Kay, Sharita Booker, and Greg Bach. Greg Bach is back 1 hour from now for Matt and Air on Air, so stick around for that. In our next hour, we will have Dan Schaefer and Chad Holmes and an updated forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Remember, follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com and hear mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.